This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. Hey, we got a pretty cool prize that we're giving away this hour. We'll bring back an old-school Junkies trivia.
Okay.
Ask you a question about the show itself.
Good.
So pay attention. $100 Burton's Grill gift card. I was there last weekend. Amazing spot. And I'll be there next Wednesday for a book signing. Burton's Grill in the Kentlands in Gaithersburg. $100 gift card. We'll do Junkies Trivia later this hour. But joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline, Bet Smarter and Beat the Books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It's Pete Haley. Hey, Pete.
Good morning, Junkies. Hello there.
Good morning.
Pete, you were doing like kind of like an artistic photo or something of like FedEx Field. It struck me as different. What inspired you there?
When I leave the stadium at night, I like to take some, very gorgeous photos of that just beautiful building. So I took one kind of shooting straight up at the FedEx Field light that was lighting up the Landover sky, and I posted it on my Instagram story so you can go look at it. It's probably up there for another 8 or 10 hours or so. So please go check that out.
All right, Pete, let's get to the game then. I don't think you saw this coming. When they were 1-4, what were your expectations for this team? Because they have turned it around.
On our podcast, I put up a mashup at the end of our post-game episode from yesterday, recapping our mood after the Titans loss, which dropped them to 1-4. And it is like 2 minutes of Mitch JP and I all saying various things like, this is the worst team in football, and we cover the worst team in football, and they can't do anything right. And it's like, amazing. I could not see this coming at all. I know that Ron Rivera has this tendency, but the team that he had after that Titans loss, I didn't think there's any way this was going to turn into anything enjoyable to watch. I thought they were all going to get fired, players, coaches, executives. I thought it was going to be a brand new reset, and I'm really, really impressed. A lot of guys deserve credit, from the coaches making adjustments on defense, you know, getting three safeties on the field as much as possible, playing five down linemen, teaching these D linemen how to play together, to the players actually executing it, to Brian Robinson getting healthy. I mean, up and down, there's no shortage of names that are worthy of praise. And again, I was so depressed and so down and was staring down the barrel of 3 months of looking at mock drafts and caring about which quarterback was doing what in the SEC, and being able to cover a team that is 2 games above 500, which Terry McLaurin and Montez Sweat have never experienced until yesterday, is a real treat.
Pete, I know that most people will not give this group a lot of credit, but your podcast mate, Mitch Tischler, certainly will. The offensive line, I mean, the job that they've done to help this team craft a rushing-first identity over the last 6 or 7 weeks has been pretty amazing, and capped off yesterday with Brian Robinson's first 100-yard game. Talk about how that unit has come together and what a big part they've been to the success of the team.
Yeah, the health has definitely contributed there. Getting Tyler Larson back right in the middle, like, he's not the world's best center, but he's definitely better than what Nick Martin was, who couldn't even snap the ball to the proper place. And Wes Schweitzer was playing out of position when he was briefly in there. So having the guy in the middle has really solidified things. Getting Sam Cosmi, this strange rotation of Cosmi and Lucas at right tackle, is working beautifully. Charles Leno is solid, and those guards, I mean, Andrew Norwell is not my favorite guard in the NFL, and he seemed out of shape and slow at the beginning of the year, but he's worked his way into form. And Trey Turner, I know he was a bit gimpy yesterday, but after being benched, I think he got healthier and came back and was playing a lot better. So those five are playing really well, and the commitment to the run is allowing them, knowing that they can move forward on 40 or 45 snaps a game. Like, it's the old cliche of run blocking is better than pass blocking, but when you talk to those guys, to a man, they all completely agree with that. It's way more fun. They get to be the aggressor instead of having to kick step backwards and wait for the pass rushers to make a move and then they have to react. Instead, they get to set the tempo, and it's helped. So, again, the coaches finding this identity and the players executing it, it's true at almost every level of this team, and the O-line is definitely an example of that.
You know, I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, and there's still other aspects of this game I want to touch on, but part of the reason why they've had this commitment to the run has been their opponents have been particularly weak against the run, including the Eagles. I think we exploited them. And I'm just looking at the Giants. The Giants actually aren't very good against the run either. They're giving up almost 140 yards a game. So that actually bodes well for them the next 2 weeks.
It is nuts how the schedule is syncing up with the Commanders finding their rhythm and it's beautiful.
Their
it's
identity.
Like in lockstep.
Yeah,
yeah. It's just like everything's coming up Commanders, which is just an awful sentence because Commanders is a terrible name, and it's also a weird sentence because nothing ever comes up this franchise's
it's
way.
Kind of
but
catchy though, I'm kind of into
coming
it.
Up Commanders.
Yeah. It's coming up Commanders. But yeah, it is cool, and also the quarterbacks they're playing. Aside from Jalen Hurts, like, they're not facing any quarterbacks who can take over a game and jump out to a 10-0, 14-0 lead that eliminates Washington's ability to run the ball. When you're playing Davis Mills and he throws an interception on the second pass, when you play Marcus Mariota, who was really good running the ball, but anytime he had to throw it, it was going towards a Falcons player's like general direction, but he had no idea what body part it was going to hit. Daniel Jones is another guy who can really run it, but he's certainly not an adept passer. And then maybe Deshaun Watson and Dak Prescott there at the end of the season reverse it a little bit. But this stretch where they are really putting it together, it's come against weak quarterbacks, weak rushing defenses, and also teams that are banged up. I mean, the Giants' O-line is decimated. They have no really quality receivers left. Like, and the Commanders are getting healthy. I know Cole Holcomb's on IR, but Chase Young has got to return at some point. I'd like to think Jahan Dotson will get involved more on offense now that he's played three games and has his feet under him. So, yeah, everything is coming up Commanders, man.
There you go. You have a new motto.
I like it. What about what about Chase? You know, I heard that there were other guys that were sick and played. I heard that Logan was maybe had some sniffles.
Yeah, what is this sickness that's going through that locker room?
I think James Smith-Williams was sick.
Oh, by the way, side note, JP has pink eye, and all of us are going to get sick.
Yeah, right.
Just like, be glad you're not in studio with us today.
Is JP in first grade? I didn't know adults could get pink eye.
Oh, adults get pink eye. They do.
That's true. I'm sure it's from some pretty unseedy things going on, maybe. Yeah, the locker room was a little bit sick last week. James Smith-Williams missed practice on Wednesday. They had Thursday off, so maybe that helped stem it a bit. But then Logan missed practice on Friday, and then Chase had the illness on Sunday. With Chase this weekend, this has been pretty exhausting, and I tweeted it yesterday that I hope it's nothing more than a bizarre footnote in his career. But the cycle of leading into the week, he's looking better. Sunday report, okay, he's actually not going to play, but wait till next week. And then they repeat it. It's been going on endlessly. I feel like it's been going on for 3 years. And this weekend, Ron has a hesitancy of playing Chase on the Ashburn bubble turf, and the MetLife Stadium turf is like worse than lava, apparently, with how many injuries happen there. So I wouldn't be surprised if they keep Chase out, then they have the bye week, and then maybe you bring him back for the final four games there. But it is this odd balance of, like, there's going to be a learning curve for Chase, and do you want him having this learning curve in the middle of the defensive line playing his best football ever when the playoffs are still like on the line and still very much in question? Of course, they're going to bring Chase back when he's ready because he's the second overall pick. And I'd imagine in a limited role, he could be pretty helpful if you just tell him, hey, on third and longs, you're going out there, you're going after the quarterback. Don't worry about stopping the run or setting the edge or dropping the coverage. Just go get the guy with the football. I think that could be a useful way to deploy him. But the whole saga of him coming back, not having the confidence, he doesn't look right. Oh, now there's a sickness. Maybe this grass, maybe this field isn't ready for him. Like, it's been pretty tiresome to say, and I'm not looking forward to another week of having to ask Ron about it, and Ron saying all these positive things, then Sunday rolling around and it still being a 50-50 decision.
Talking to Pete Haley, covers the Commanders for NBC Sports Washington. How would you grade Jamin Davis's play the last couple of months?
It's been really, really good. I wouldn't say stellar. He's not one of the game's best linebackers yet, but his tackling has really improved. He's not just making tackles, he's making physical tackles. He had a couple on Cordarrelle Patterson yesterday at the beginning of the game where he just throws him to the ground, and that's a really big, tough guy to bring down. He still hasn't popped in coverage as much as I thought, but also I'm sure that's because they aren't really needing him to cover, because when they're going with these one linebacker looks, they're letting McCain and Curl and Forrest and those players handle the coverage duties, and Davis is being used as a blitzer, more of just a guy to monitor the middle of the field. So I would like to see him develop more in that area. Maybe next year that's a spot for him to grow, but from what he was, in training camp, there was just no momentum for this guy's career. And then after that first week when Del Rio just killed him, I thought it was going towards a dangerous spot where he would be benched and we'd be looking at Mayo and Bostic for the year, and Jamin's career would be done before it really got started. But the coaches, they say that because Davis grew up in a military family, that like he needed to be challenged, and Ron is kind of criticizing himself, like, why did it take us so long to figure this out? But once we did challenge him, it seems to have really kicked him into gear, and he just looks way more sure of himself. He's knifing into the backfield instead of waiting for guys to get to him. And he, along with Benjamin St. Juice and Derek Forrest, that draft from last year, first round pick, third round pick, fifth round pick, looks like it's netted them three pretty damn good starters, and all three of those guys could become like really, really top of the line starters if they continue on the track that they're on. So that's just yet another part of this team that deserves highlighting. There's only so much time on radio shows and so much space in the interwebs to do so. But yeah, the more we can talk about Jamin Davis and all these players who are putting it together, the better.
Yeah, it's crazy because a couple months ago, going back to like when they're 1-4. We were talking about how Ron was derelict with his duties, and then all the personnel, he's bringing in the familiar, bringing in all these Carolina guys, yeah. And now all of a sudden we're talking about all these guys that he's brought in that are working out.
I know, like John Ridgeway is the find of the century, and St. Juice, and it's so weird. We were talking on the pod yesterday that Taylor and Ron, their strengths are both things that you can't really define. With Taylor, it's the moxie and the uniting the team and being clutch. And with Ron, it's like keeping guys focused and shielding them from the outside noise. And it's annoying because you see him, he loves to burn a timeout in the third quarter. He loves to not challenge when he should, and he loves to challenge when he should. Like, there are obvious examples of him making frustrating choices. But then you get to the end of the game, the team wins, and all the players do is just shower him with love for believing in them and keeping them as a united front. And it's like, all right, we have to believe what they're saying, because in that locker room, they repeat the messages he says, even though they're corny at times and there's these little catchphrases that you hear over and over again. He clearly has the ear of the team, and I think that was demonstrated in them going down to Houston and laying it on the Texans after probably the franchise's best win in the past couple of years. That showed really great maturity and focus, and then to now have another three-game winning streak, like, They are really together, and Ron deserves credit, and he may not show enough fire on the sideline, and he may have given too much money to William Jackson, and he may have traded for Carson Wentz when he shouldn't have, but the more he does, he's really on fire right now. There's no other way to say it.
Hey, Pete, another guy in that 2021 draft class, and I say this kind of jokingly, I don't think you're going to find a guy in the league that only has five catches like De'Ami Brown has. But they're five pretty spectacular catches. Am I wrong?
His spectacular catch rate, I think, is 80%.
Yeah.
Because he had the diving grab yesterday on third down.
Yep.
He had a sprawling catch in Philadelphia at the end of the first half to set up a 58-yard Joey Sly field goal. He had a one-hander against Tennessee for a 30-yard touchdown. And he had another for 75 yards against Tennessee.
Yeah.
So, like, he's the ultimate pinch hitter. He's never good enough to start. He's never good enough to give you four at-bats. But if you ever need, like, a clutch double, I guess De'Ami Brown's the way to go. And if you look at my Twitter, he was wearing two mouthpieces yesterday. He had one in his mouth, and he had another one attached to his helmet.
Weird.
So on Wednesday, instead of talking to Taylor about his mojo or talking to Brian Robinson about his improvement and seeing holes, I'm going right to De'Ami Brown's locker. I'm putting my phone under his mouth, and I'm asking him about his mouthpieces. But, yeah, that guy, I don't think he's going to really amount to much. This is probably the peak of what he'll be in the NFL. But if he can come up with one enormous catch every couple weeks when this team has already so many options on offense, that's pretty fine. I'll take it.
Pete, the biggest star in the locker room, obviously, Brian Robinson's big, giant hat. I mean, it was it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And his buddy, who runs the big, giant hat company, is probably just fulfilling orders left and right today.
It is the funniest image ever. Brian looks so serious. Like, what? What are you guys looking at? Is there something on my face? Did I leave something in my locker? Like, no, you're wearing a hat that's four sizes too big. And you're like a very serious Alabama product. And we never really see you smile that much. And here you are just wearing this giant hat. Yeah, apparently the company was on Shark Tank. This is all from Sam Fortier, the Washington Post. He's kind of been on top of the big hat storyline. Shark Tank company. But apparently you can only buy the big hat itself, and then you have to buy like your own patches to turn it into a team hat. They don't have the licensing rights. So like they're getting all this publicity going into the Christmas season, which you think would be awesome for them, but when people stumble upon their website and realize that there aren't Commander's hats, that it's just a giant black hat, I think those people are probably going to close their window and choose to spend their money elsewhere. Yeah, so a potential huge windfall is likely not going to really turn out to be much, but at least Brian has that moment. I'm sure that won't be the last we'll see of that enormous lid.
Was Pete Haley at the unveiling of the Sean Taylor Memorial?
Yeah, if you want to just play that sound effect again, that fits pretty well. I went into that like, okay, I'm very, very skeptical of this team's off-the-field stuff. I look at it with a very critical eye. I'm going to be pretty neutral here. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And Jason Wright gave a very touching speech, and the fans were ready to roar. They're doing 21 chants. It was a cool environment under that concourse there. And then they took the burgundy cloth off the case, and I looked at some of the other reporters after waiting for like a minute, and I was like, so it's just a mannequin, and not even like a full mannequin. It has like fake mannequin arms, and I get it. Like the soccer cleats are a nice touch. I don't know how they didn't tape the helmet, but the mannequin's just so like skinny and weak looking. Like Sean was imposing and powerful and scared you, and there's this stupid knobby-kneed mannequin with a jersey that's ill-fitting, and it was another complete mess, and I didn't think they could mess it up after messing up last year and having a year to address the mess up,
right?
And they did it again. Yeah. Got it. So that's one example of it not coming up, Commanders, right there.
That is correct.
All right, Pete, good stuff as always. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yep.
Later. Pete Haley covers the Commanders for NBC Sports Washington. RG3 is going to join us coming up at 9:40. We'll get his take on Taylor Heinicke and the offense. But next, time for another Monday Night Parlay. Here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
All right, we got RG3 coming up at 9:40. We'll get his take on the Commanders' latest win. That makes 6 out of 7. They're 7-5, would be in the playoffs if the playoffs started today. Next two games against the New York Giants.
I wanted to give an update on Skippy. I had an eventful weekend just texting back and forth with him. So he had, who do you have? He had the
Buffalo on Thanksgiving.
Buffalo on Thanksgiving.
And that was dicey.
And that was dicey, and that came through. First of all, he had the Ravens last week, right? That was like 3-3 game with Carolina, right? What was the Ravens?
They won late.
They won late. Yeah, that was 3-3 late.
13-3.
Then it ended up 13-3.
But they dominated the game.
Then he had the Bills.
Bills on Thanksgiving.
And then yesterday he had the Niners. And the Niners won, but, you know, it wasn't like they ran away with it. It was a fairly, you know, solid win. It was never super in doubt, but they didn't pull away.
No.
So here's what he said, and just talk me through this. So he said yesterday that 34 guys had the Dolphins. They won.
Okay,
right?
Yep.
16 had the Jets. They won.
Jets won, yep.
6 had Washington. They won. 11 had San Francisco. They won 3. So nobody lost.
Nobody eliminated.
Nobody eliminated. 3 had KC, because KC won,
KC
right?
KC won.
Yeah, so we're in the same boat.
Still alive. Just got to stay alive. Survive.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that there are some rumblings by some people here that they're not sure if this is a real thing. I'm telling you, this is the real deal.
But. Might be.
Okay.
Possibly
might
is.
Also be a great story by a known liar.
Could be a
you
big
never
rumors.
Know.
Yeah, I know that Drab and Valdez have their doubts.
They have
and
some
others. And some others.
I have a little me. Doubt myself.
I didn't doubt. I asked Drab to talk me through it. I want it to be.
Listen, my doubt is just that he wouldn't give the username, which I found odd.
Well, he just doesn't know like why we would want it. That's all.
Because then you can track it.
It's called to verify things.
Yeah, I don't need to
track his picks.
I know Scott. I've known him for 40 years. I know what he lies about. He didn't lie about this kind of stuff. I know, he lies about a job. He lies about, you know.
But you believed his biggest lie.
Yeah.
Well, that was, but that's it. It's not about gambling. He doesn't lie about gambling losses or gambling wins. I just know the guy. So,
and for those who don't know, we have a friend who's one of like the last 60?
70 or so.
60 or 70 left in a massive survivor pool where it's winner take all, and the pot is $6.1 million.
Right.
I do think the boys behind the glass, the boys from BitSeason, their idea for a junkie survivor pool,
I think it'd be great.
It's a smash.
Love it.
I think
people
seem
to
be.
I got so many DMs, and Valdez did too, over the weekend of people saying, I'm all in.
Let's make it
bucks,
happen.
Nothing. You would do for 300? I'd be surprised if you get as many as you think, but if you want to put it at 300, let's go for it. So prove me wrong.
We'll hype it up all summer.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm all about it. I know I'd lose in 2 weeks.
All right, let's get to the
lost in 1 week.
Let's get to the Monday night parlay here.
How did we do in a weekend parlay? Because I thought a bunch of us hit, right? Did we do decent?
I think the first two hit.
Didn't I hit?
First two hit, and then it went sideways.
Let me check the old Instagram.
2 out of 5.
Let's see. We took Jamal Williams anytime touchdown. That hit.
That hit. Uh-huh.
Lions plus 9.5 points. That hit.
Uh-huh. Yep.
But then we got to old Cakesy Slayton anytime touchdown.
Oh, he was so close.
All right.
CeeDee Lamb anytime touchdown.
Slayton tackled on the 1-inch line.
Cakes and Grab got screwed.
Lamb got tackled on like the 2 yard line.
No. Lamb had a touchdown.
What did I pick?
And they reviewed it.
He took the Lions plus 9.5.
Yours hit.
Yes, okay. I took Jamal Williams anytime touchdown to hit, but then the last three didn't.
Oh, okay.
Cakes, we got boned.
Seriously boned.
Great play by Slayton. Lamb had that touchdown in the back of the end zone that they reviewed, said an ounce of his foot was out.
Right. But horrible call.
Did you say an ounce of his foot?
Yeah, an ounce.
Well, yeah, okay. Works. Works. I know
like
what he's going for.
Of it. Did you see how many people like watched that game? I think it was the highest rated regular season game ever.
I mentioned it before.
Yeah, like 42 million people. I'm shocked the number's not higher.
Like, what else, somebody,
what else somebody, are you watching on
somebody tweeted us and said, you guys aren't talking enough World Cup. Did you see how many viewers are over 15 million? I said, 10. I shot back. 43 million watching the Cowboys. Yeah.
Actually, I'm rooting for Iran. Because I want this thing to end. I'm tired of everybody faking soccer. It's just,
hold on. It is fun to watch. Here's what's fun to watch. When the United States play, for me, when the United States plays, and then when like Messi's playing or like a world class player. By the
Mbappe.
Way, are you buying that Messi might go play in Miami for MLS?
Well, that's been the long time rumors, and I saw over the weekend that it's they're pushing forward with those rumors. I don't know.
It makes sense. Has Ronaldo accepted that offer from the Saudi team yet? Because if I were him, I would have taken it 2 seconds after his offer.
$75 million a year for the next three.
He's old each. And washed, and the Saudis want to give him $75 million a year. It's like the live tour.
Well, he has to take.
Yeah, he
has
scored. To take it. It's fine.
He's a PK.
I think
he's a billionaire.
Yeah.
I think he'll be all right.
Still take it.
I think you still have to take it.
All right, let's do the Monday Night Parlay. We got RG3 coming up at 9:40, and we have our Junkies trivia question still to come.
Spin it.
Go to me last.
All right, I'll lead
for
off.
For real.
I'm looking at Jonathan Taylor, over 100 yards. That is an alt line, plus 172. I looked at his six games before Jeff Saturday took over. Only once did he have more than 21 carries. Well, when Jeff Saturday took over, they said, we're going to start handing the ball to Jonathan Taylor. 22 carries for 147 yards, 22 carries for 84 yards. Let me get over 100. I know it is against Pittsburgh's defense, which is sixth against the run, but I'm going to take Jonathan Taylor over 100.
All right, you're in.
Spin the wheel.
This is Valdez's favorite Monday night matchup of the year. He told me that during the break.
All right, so let's go to Valdez.
Very excited for Steelers.
I can't wait.
Colts.
I'm going to watch pregame and everything.
As you should.
I'm going to do George Pickens receiving total over 60 yards.
Seems reasonable.
You're dialed in with your pal because that was the exact
really
receiving.
I think it's plus 194.
It's plus 194.
It's Pickett's favorite target.
You're gonna have to pivot.
Oh, it's fine. I can pivot.
Sorry, Kicks.
Pickett's favorite target.
Yeah. Know what I said?
I think you said Pickens, it's but Pickett, I might be mistaken.
Pickens, it's very confusing.
All right, let's go to Drabby.
I'll take the great white hype, Alec Pierce, to score a touchdown. I think he's been bumped down to third receiver, but he's always out there, and he's a big target in the red zone.
That's got
to
be some
is
long odds.
Is he a whitey or is he very light-skinned?
I think he's a whitey.
No, he's a whitey.
I need confirmation on this.
He's a fast whitey.
Okay. Yeah.
You don't remember the fast white wide receiver we used to have on the show semi-frequently about 20 years ago?
Oh, really? The guy that went to Iowa? His name's escaping me.
Tim Dwight.
Of course I remember Tim Dwight.
He used to be a Junkies regular.
You kidding? Of course I know that.
All right. Let's go to Cakesy.
Since Valdez stole my brilliant picks, I think Pickens is going to go over 60 yards. I guess I like the Steelers tonight. I'm going to go to Najee Harris's alt rushing yards. I like him at over 80 at plus 225. Warren's nicked up in the backfield. Harris has shown some life in the past few games. I think he can get 80 plus in this game, and I especially like it at plus 225. Najee Harris, 80 plus yards at plus 225.
All right, this is our last chance to hit a parlay before Bishbucks returns. I believe he returns tomorrow.
Yep.
Whose turn is it? Mine.
You.
You guys are acting like it's gonna be 100 point scored, so I can't do a touchdown guy, right? Should I just bet the over? Since you guys got all these guys scoring touchdowns,
the over kind of makes sense for the dynamic of the bet.
I mean,
so
the
far.
Number's low. These teams don't score that much.
What's the number?
39.5. I'll go over. What the hell?
All right, there you go. Five plays. We've got Jonathan Taylor over 100 yards, Pickens over 60 yards, Alec Pierce scores a touchdown, Najee Harris over 80 yards, and the over in the game, which is over 39.5. What is a $6 bet pay, Drabby?
I believe a $6 bet plays $3,049.
Oh, sweet. Sweet.
By the way, I want Trav to put that on his account this weekend.
Hey, by the way.
Back to his account.
Did you see that my guy, the Pomonte guy or whatever, he hit another like $1.5 million parlay, like six gamer?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Good for him.
All right, correction. It only pays $1,000.
Oh. Where'd you come up with that?
I clicked under.
That's still really good.
My bad.
Oh, so if we go with the under,
can
it's 3,000? Yeah, let's go with the under.
But can we get, but
maybe he's not married
hit?
To the
can
over.
Believe me.
We only have one touchdown on the board to be scored.
So you think, can it work?
Yes.
Let's go the under because those teams will score that. Although it is in a dome, they're probably going to kick a bunch of field goals.
Yeah, but field goals, tough to get to 40 if you're kicking a bunch of field goals.
All you right. win if it's 20-19, winner.
Do you want, what do you guys want?
I want the bigger payout.
You want the bigger payout?
Yes.
Bigger all sweat.
All right, you guys are betting the under.
All right, under 39.5.
We're men of conviction.
Real quick, Junkies trivia question, because we're giving away a $100 gift card to Burton's Grill, is Pete Haley joined us at 9 o'clock, mm-hmm. and he coined a new catchphrase regarding
it's
the
his.
Commanders.
You should trademark it.
Give us a call at 800-636-1067, and if you get that right, you're the 10th caller. You'll get that $100 gift card to Burton's Grill, which is an amazing spot. I was there last week. My family feasted on apps. But let me tell you about Burton's Grill. They've got an amazing happy hour. It is truly elevated. $6 cocktails. And you got to try the salmon cake sliders. They have steak tenderloin sliders. It's just an awesome spot. Really great environment. The bar scene is awesome. They have craft cocktails that are out of this world. The food, I tried so much, from the chicken risotto to the ribeye to the filet. It's an awesome spot. I've got a book signing there next Wednesday, 5 to 7. It's Burton's Grill. It's just opened up in the Kentlands in Gaithersburg. Try it out, Burton's Grill. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. Joining us right now on the BetQL Guest Hotline, Bet Smarter and Beat the Books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It is Robert Griffin III. What's up, Robert?
What's up, guys? Another victory Monday.
Another victory Monday. When they were 1-4, all right? They're 1-4. Carson Wentz is the quarterback. If you had to predict the final record at that moment, not what you thought in preseason, but at 1-4, how did you think this season was going to end?
Oh, man, I just thought that I wouldn't be using that baby picture of me, you know, boasting in the fact that I was right. Because at 1-4, the team just wasn't playing inspired football. The defense wasn't showing up. Offensively, the weapons were showing up at times, but it was looking bleak, guys. But then Taylor Heinicke happened. And it's just incredible. The guy 6-1 as a starter, had another Taylor Heinicke game, up and down, made a play in the end. And the defense has played so much better with him at the helm. So it's incredible. It's great for Washington fans sitting there 7-5. You couldn't be happier for him.
Here's the thing, and I don't want to harp on it too much, but I've been just getting ridiculed for noticing that, look, as you notice, Taylor's playing Taylor Heinicke football. He's a leader. The guys love him, but he's not that adept at passing. He understands the offense. He can scramble a little bit. He can buy a little more time. But also, they're using more tight ends to block now. They got Tyler Larson in there at center, who's providing a huge upgrade when Chase Roullier went down. Their O-line's playing better. They're protecting better. They're pounding the foot. They're using a totally different scheme and offense versus what they did when Carson was in there. And when this is Taylor's job, but when he inevitably blows up, Robert, I think if they plug Carson in and they do the same thing with the same personnel, they're going to get more production.
Let me put it this way. Because Taylor Heinicke's 6-1, you're going to get killed for that opinion. It's not that people don't want to be told the truth. It's just people don't want anyone raining on Taylor's parade.
Right.
And that's what it really boils down to. They are running a completely different offense. And the reason they're doing that is because they paid Carson so much money, they're expecting Carson to carry more of the load. They have so many offensive weapons at wide receiver. They want those guys to get their shine because they know they can win with those guys. But when you make the change at quarterback and you understand his limitations, it does change the mindset of the coordinator no matter what they want to say. They are running the skin off of the football right now. I think they had 175 yards rushing. Brian Robinson Jr. Is still doing it. And Taylor, to his credit, he also understands his limitations, as you said. He knows he just has to make one or two or three plays a game. But that interception before halftime was one of the worst interceptions we've probably seen all year. I mean, he threw it right to the guy. But I think Ron even said it in his post-game presser. You know, Taylor goes out there, he does a couple things. By that, he means he does some head-scratching things, makes some head-scratching decisions. Then he comes back around, makes a couple plays, and you win the football game. As long as that recipe is working, they got to keep him in the kitchen. But I agree. If they put Carson in there with the way that they're playing offensively, the style that they're playing, yeah, they would probably have more success, and they wouldn't have to win close games like that. Because let's be honest, if De'Ron Payne doesn't tip that ball up, Cordell Patterson's walking in for a touchdown on that. Kendall Fuller was beat, but because it got tipped, they caught the interception, and that's all we're talking about today. So they keep finding ways to win. But, yeah, I agree with you. Carson's the better player. Like, we just have to be honest about that.
Yeah. How far can this defense take them? Because the defense is leading them. There's no doubt about it. How good is the defense?
Yeah, I mean, the guy, we said it last week, the defense is finally playing to their potential. I mean, Montez had another sack. He's got 7 on the year. De'Ron Payne's like a tackle for loss monster, getting into the backfield. As long as this defensive line keeps playing to this level, they'll be great. Now, some people will point at the competition and say, hey, it was just the Falcons. Well, the Falcons have been a gritty team all year and played everybody close. Listen, the Packers just lost last night. The Commanders are 7-5. They've got a better record than the Bucks, and the Packers have. They've got a better record than a lot of people. So at some point, we're past the midway point of the year. You have to just look at teams for who they are. And at 7-5, the Washington Commanders are a good football team. The NFC East has turned into the NFC Beast. Every team's in the playoff hunt right now. They're in the playoffs if they ended today. So at the end of the day, the defense is playing their tails off. And yes, you can credit Taylor Heinicke for that if you want to. I just want to give those guys the credit they deserve because they've been ridiculed for years upon years, and now have finally started to come through and make plays. Earlier in the year, no one would have thought this defense would have been playing the way that they are right now because they were a liability. At this point, they're the strength of the team.
And, Robert, some of those teams that the Commanders are battling with, teams like Seattle and the Niners, like the Niners shut out the Saints, but the Saints were close to scoring on at least a couple plays. Kamara fumbled on the goal line on one of them. And Seattle just gave up 40 to the Raiders, who are well under 500. So they're in the mix with some other teams that they can be competitive with and hopefully keep that playoff spot. They just have to take care of business against the Giants these next two games.
Yeah, when you look at those teams that they're competing against, they all have weaknesses. As you just said, the 49ers have been playing great on defense all year. That's the reason they won that game. They just came up with opportunistic turnovers with Alvin Kamara coughing the football up. And Seattle, you feel like you're going to have to score against Seattle because they're playing such good offensive football. But they can also be scored on. So there's not a team right now in the NFC that's hovering around where Washington is for that playoff spot that makes you say, I don't know if they can beat them. And I think that's a good spot to be in if you're the Commanders.
If you, Robert, if you look at the NFC, all right, the Eagles have the best record. They put up 40 points yesterday. We know Jalen Hurts, MVP candidate. Who's your number two team in the NFC right now?
So, I mean, everyone's going to point to the Vikings just because you can look at the records and say, all right, the Vikings should be there. But I got to go with the Cowboys. I know that's like blasphemy for Commanders fans, but the way the Cowboys dismantled the Vikings, the way that they have looked over the past couple weeks, obviously they didn't look as great on Thanksgiving, but you go beat a team and throw 40 on them, and your offense looks unstoppable. Your defense is getting after them. The Cowboys are head over heels, the second-best team in the NFC right now. Then it's probably Minnesota, and then it's a toss-up. And I think if you're a Commanders fan, you're excited about the fact that it's a toss-up for who's the fourth-best team in the NFC, whether it's the 49ers, the Giants, Washington, Seattle. Some people might even say it's still Tampa Bay, even though they just lost yesterday. But
I might put the Niners in there.
This is unfamiliar territory for Commanders.
Robert, I might put the Niners in there, Robert. You know, I look at point differential, and maybe point differential doesn't matter, but Dallas is plus 92. Philly's plus 87. San Francisco's plus 76. The Vikings are plus 5. Think about that. For a team that is 9-2, they're plus 5?
Yes, and don't get it twisted. I also understand who the quarterback for the Vikings is. It's Kirk Cousins, and no one believes in Kirk. But I believe the stats, if you want to look at stats, they support Kirk this year. He's got the most game-winning drives as a starting quarterback. He's got the most fourth-quarter comebacks as a quarterback. So people are still questioning whether the Vikings are real or not, and I think it's just because of Kirk. But look at the talent that he has around him. Look at the way the defense is playing. Even though their point differential doesn't support them being 9-2, they're finding ways to win as well. So they're in a similar situation as Washington at 7-5. They keep finding ways to win. We just got to figure out if they're real when the playoffs come around.
All right, so let's look ahead. The Commanders face the Giants in their next two games. How do you see these games playing out?
Well, it's always tough to play a team, back-to-back, the way that they're going to with the bye week in between. But if they can stop Saquon Barkley and make Daniel Jones have to beat him, I think that's the recipe for success there. But ultimately, for Washington continue to win, Taylor Heineke's going to have to start playing better football. He's going to have to start being consistent, throwing the football from the pocket. You're talking about over the next two games, you want to see him be able to hit the 250-yard mark consistently, you know, throwing for two touchdowns and protecting the football. That's going to be the recipe for success down the stretch because they're going to have to start scoring points to beat people. Now, this Giants defense with Wink Martindale is a monster. They're going to blitz the wazoo out of Heineke, so he's going to have to, you know, make sure he gets the ball out but also uses his legs when appropriate, which I think he does a really good job of. But if they stop the run, make Daniel Jones have to try to beat him throwing the football, I think they'll win both games.
All right, Robert, have a good call tonight on Monday Night Countdown.
Thank you, buddy. We're up against the break. Thank you, pal.
Appreciate you guys. Yep. God bless.
All right, man.
Thanks, Robert.
RG3.
He said he thinks we'll win both.
He did. He did say that. Now, Daniel Jones has a weird, good streak going against the Commanders.
He kind of owns us.
It's a weird thing.
Is he like 4-0 or 4-1 or something? I feel like he's beaten us a bunch.
He just puts up numbers against the Commanders. I don't know what it is in his history. But hopefully that comes to an end over these next two games.
I'm not trying to just play it safe. This is what I honestly think. I think we're going to split with them. I can't get myself.
It's
probably
the most likely outcome.
I don't think they're particularly good, but I also am realistic about us.
They got off to a fast start, and they're starting to regress.
He's 4-1 against the Commanders, so he does have a loss, but he's completed 68% of his passes against the Commanders, 9 touchdowns with just 3 picks.
Yeah,
we need that. Maybe that'll turn around.
Quarterback rating of 100.4.
Hopefully.
We're starting to
He wishes he
turnovers.
Played the Commanders every week. Some reason Daniel Jones has played really, really well against
Washington.
He'd have
his contract extension already if he was playing against us.
Exactly.
He'd have a big-ass deal. Well, he'd be one of the highest-paid guys in the league.
Commanders will be turning up the pressure on him. He's going to be under duress throughout the game.
Hey, they're in a great position.
Yep.
They're in an unbelievable position right now. That none of us, even the most optimistic of us, thought at 1-4 that they could really be 7-5 at this point.
Never thought
chance.
That. Ever.
At 1-4? The way that Wentz was playing?
I thought that they would play better, but I didn't think that they'd rip off 6 of 7. That's for sure.
Defense is legit. Keep listening to 106.7 The Fan as we continue a Victory Monday. It's B. Mitch and Finley next here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.